Well, this Sunday we are in week two of our parable series. And the theme today for the parables, it seems, is this one question. Are you ready? Like, we hear that all the time in our life. Are you ready? Or maybe you're the, I'm not saying there's one in every couple, but maybe you're the person that is taking a little bit longer to get ready at the house before you're dashing out to go to a meeting or to dinner. And one of you might be going, are you ready? Yeah, there is one of those in our house. I need to make sure everything is just right before I can leave the house. And so usually there's this echo ringing through our home of like, Lauren, are you ready? But then even larger than that, more significant than in that in life, we spend so much time trying to figure out if we're ready. If we're ready to go to college, if we're ready to get married, if we're ready to be parents, ready to retire, ready to join this community or that one. That question is not new. Are you ready? The thing is that in a community of faith, and especially in the Bible, it's in there a lot. But maybe not in the way that we always think. Maybe not in that way, because the parables are what? They're stories. They're stories that Jesus is telling, but they're almost like coded. They're in a certain language. They're meant to describe a truism, but they're in these strategically placed and told stories so that there's always more to them than meets the eye. This week, we have a few different parables, but the one that we'll focus on the most just begs the question, are you ready? And it's so ironic, because the first person that Jesus is telling this to at the beginning is Peter. And if you know anything about the church and know anything about the Gospels, you'll probably remember Peter. Peter's that guy that it seems like almost is never really ready. Not really. On the outward, he's here. He's excited. He is energized about following Jesus. And when it really counts, then he's the guy who says, I don't even know him. And so I think about, that's where we're starting today, is Jesus and Peter, two friends. One is God. And the other his disciple, but him and Peter in this narrative they'll have over their friendship is truly like, are you ready? And so today we start in the Gospel of Luke. And I'll read it to you as the NIV, the New International Version, translates it. But then we'll need to read it again in a different way. Because the thing is that there are a lot of nuances here. Luke chapter 12. Verse 41, Peter asked Jesus, Lord, are you telling this parable just to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is a faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? Now you may be wondering, what? This sounds like a cafeteria manager. Stay with me. Listen to the words, faithful. And wise. Who then is faithful and wise? Jesus goes on, he says, it will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will then put that one in charge of all of his possessions. Do you hear it? Who is the one that's faithful and wise? Because when the boss goes away, when the leader goes away, that one who's faithful and wise, when he comes back, it will have gone well with him. And so what do we do with responsible people? If you can be responsible in just a little, then we give them a lot. We say, great, you are capable. Can you take on all of these other things? That's not new to us. And he says, truly I tell you, he'll put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that the servant were to say to himself, well, my master is sure taking a long time. And then while he waits, he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, to eat, then drink, and get drunk. The master of that servant will come back on a day when he's not expecting it, in an hour that he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. For the servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready, or does not do what the master wants, will be beaten. But the one who does not know and does things is not deserving of punishment. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. That's a complicated wording of a simple truth. The one who is faithful and wise, the one will be responsible with even the littlest amount. And so what do? We give them everything. We give them more to be responsible of. But the one who says, okay, the boss is gone. The leader has left the building. Let's party, right? That's basically what it says. The one who then spends and is extravagant and lives and turns in their lifestyle in a completely different direction than what the leader had set up as a framework, what the leader had designed to be good. Well, then that one, what will they do? What will they do when the leader comes back at a time they don't know when he's coming back? They just know, man, been gone a while. And so when the leader comes back, what will they have to show for it? Like, really? They say, I had a great party. Oh, we did this and we did that. That's not what the leader is going to want to see, is it? The leader who left them in charge of all of their things. And so we have Jesus very clearly pointing out two things. An easy teaching lesson for how we should live, how we should steward, how we should steward our things and how we should steward God's things. But what we also have is this parable that basically begs the question, like, are you ready? Are you ready? Like, are you the one who is, when left alone, faithful and wise, willing to do the hard thing even when no one is looking because it's the right thing? Or are we the one who is, well, ready for the boss to just turn around the corner, make sure the car is just far enough down the driveway, right, until it turns, and then game time, right? Which is it? And the thing is that Jesus tells this parable. He tells it about a boss and the people who are working for him. But that's not really what it's about, is it? The parables never are. What it's really about is your faith. What it's really about is your God. Like, are you ready? A lot of us forget, until Christmas comes around again, and then Easter comes around again, a lot of us forget that Jesus is, like, coming back. We hope for it. We pray for it. We want the world and the kingdom that Jesus is going to bring, because it's going to make all this right. It's going to bring pure glory, complete wholeness. But how often are you sitting there at an 8:30 a.m. Monday morning, sit down to your desk, maybe a cup of coffee, and is the first thought on your mind, Jesus might come today? Is that really? I can't say that's my first thought, and I'm a pastor, right? Do we wake up thinking, this might be the day? And yes, there you can Google plenty of countdown clocks and all sorts of other stuff. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being obsessed with the when, with a certain date and a certain time, certain location. You're going to miss the point if you focus on that. It's not about the when. It's about the posture of us. See, if you maintain the posture of being ready for the leader to come around that corner any given time, you're ready. You can live with confidence. I'm ready. And so often we chalk up being ready, like in our faith, is it has to be all of these things. We have to have done these good deeds after these good works and achieve and show up 52 Sundays a year, and then we'll be ready. But is that really what Jesus ultimately hangs his hat on as for his readiness? Can Jesus work with a disciple who has denied him 3 times and gets sleepy the week and the day when it matters most? Yeah. If Jesus can work with Peter, if Jesus can work with us, it's on us to be ready. And so the next question is what? He goes in later and it gets kind of complicated. He says something like, those who know, they're held to a different standard than those who don't. I get a lot of questions in some of my pastoral meetings and meetings with church members, and really good ones, really valid faith questions. Questions like, what happens to the people who have never heard of Jesus? What happens to the people who live in remote parts of the world who can't read a printed Bible, let's say? What happens to, and it just spirals, it snowballs, all these really great questions. And the thing about being ready, this are you ready, is that because of the Holy Spirit, because of the way that God is working relationally with every single one of us, is that you too have the choice. Let's see, what's the greatest commandment? Well, today I can either love God and love my neighbor or not. I can either live with peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, humility, self-control, or not. I can treat others the way that I would want to be treated or not. You see, there's so many more pieces to this faith experience than what we're just limited to. And that second part, it always gets me. It's like, well, the one who knows will be kept to such a higher standard. And then it famously goes into this verse you may have heard of, said like this, to whom much is given, much is expected. You see, but that's not what this translation said, is it? It said much will be demanded. And that's kind of hard to hear. It's hard to hear because we have Jesus pictured as, well, kind, maybe sometimes quiet. He summons the seas to be still. And then we think, you're telling me Jesus demands something of us? Demand? That sounds kind of harsh. Yikes. And the truth is that Jesus does. That's just how it goes. That's the God's honest truth, is that to whom much is given, much will be demanded. And that's because this is the lesson on stewardship. It's a lesson on, are you ready? Are you ready to be left in possession of all of these awesome things God is doing? Are you ready to be left in possession of the mission that God has and that God wants to loop you in to be a co-creator of, to be a part of? Are you ready to be part of making this world better day by day? Because when you face all those questions I just listed and you do choose love God, love neighbor, and then you do choose patience over road rage or whatever the moment might bring, and you do choose to turn the other cheek and forgive 77 times. Because when you're doing all of that, you are what? Faithful and wise. That's how the parable started. The faithful and the wise servant, that's the one that though he will come at an hour and a time unknown, he who is or she who is faithful and wise says, bring it. Bring it on. They are the ones who, they wake up and they say, is it today? Maybe. Could Jesus come today at 1 p.m.? Think about that. You probably already have plans or a commute home after this. Could he? Maybe. Have you considered it? Maybe. What would you say to Jesus if he came at 1 p.m. today? Right? Like, I have a really fun event next Friday. Could you come next Saturday, Jesus? So I could just make it till then. Would you say, well, I'm getting promoted next Monday. Could you wait till Tuesday, Jesus? All these things. Do you have something? You just think if we could just, you know, fax our blueprint to Jesus of the design we have for our lives, then maybe then we'll be cool with Jesus coming if he could just implement that blueprint along the way. I know that's how it feels to me. It feels like when I think about all of the things that I need help with, I think about an upcoming appointment, an upcoming test when I was in school, maybe an upcoming doctor's appointment, and you think, okay, Jesus, you can come anytime, right? When you have a calculus test, Jesus can definitely come before that. That is okay. I'm all good for that, right? Lord Jesus, please come right now because I'm about to take this calculus final, and anytime right between 10:30 and 11:30, that would be excellent. If you could just come then, start redeeming the world and all of those things and get rid of calculus. We're cool with that. But when we have the things that we have planned, that we want to control, or even the things that are good, just pure good, a marriage or a family, we tell Jesus, we say, oh, just wait. Let me get through this. Let me experience some of the glories of life, and then you can come. But the reality is, friends, is that we're all living in both those moments all the time. We are always living in between the times. We are always living in between the calculus test and the wedding or the promotion or the achievement. We always are. And instead, Jesus says this. He says, those who know, those who really get it, I can just picture Jesus being like, those who kind of, who get me, he says, they, well, when I come, they had a lot of potential. They'll be held to this different standard, because to whom much is given, to the teachings of Jesus, the stories of Jesus, the life that Jesus has given on that cross up behind me, to whom much has been given, much is expected. Listen to this parable in a different way. This is from The Message, from Eugene Peterson. And he says it like this. Peter asked Jesus, Master, are you telling this story just for us, or is it for everybody? The master said, let me ask you, who is the dependable manager, full of common sense, that the master puts in charge of his staff to feed them and manage their time? He is a blessed man. He's a blessed man, because then when the master shows up, he's doing his job. But if he says to himself, wow, the master is taking a long time, and he begins beating up on the other servants and maids, he throws parties for his friends and gets drunk, the master will walk in on him when he least expects it and give him the thrashing of his life, and he'll put him back in the kitchen peeling potatoes. The servant who knows what his master wants but then ignores it or insolently does whatever he pleases, he will be thoroughly thrashed. But if he does a poor job through ignorance, he'll get off with just a slap on the hand. Great gifts mean great responsibilities. Great gifts mean great responsibilities. Greater gifts, greater responsibilities. You think of someone maybe like an athlete. There are a lot of them, college athletes, Olympic athletes, who could really medal in multiple sports. There are many famous ones, but I think I come to mind of an athlete who is an exceptional baseball player, football player, track star. And you look at this athlete and you say, which of these three will they choose? Can't do them all. Can't do them all. So you have to choose one. Great gifts, great responsibility. Greater gifts, greater responsibilities. How will the coach hold that athlete to what standard at the end of the season? Maybe compared to the athlete who is riding the bench. Great gifts, great responsibilities. See, the thing about it is that we are most, I think, disappointed by those in whom we had the highest hopes. Think about that. The correlation, high disappointment for those that they had the highest potential. Oh, I had the highest hopes for him or for her. And I think about Jesus. Who is this parable being told to at the moment? Peter. High hopes, high expectations, but high disappointment. Oh, how it must have stung for Jesus that night. When Jesus is in the trials with the Sanhedrin, how it must have stung for the one person, one of the closest confidants, one of the people who had been in the boat when the waters were stilled, who had seen the multiplication of loaves and fishes. Oh, how it must have stung for the one who a few chapters earlier claimed, I'll follow you anywhere. And then he falls asleep. Or I'll follow you anywhere. And then he says, I do not know you. I don't know him. You see, great disappointment comes from the great missed expectation. And this parable says what? It says, are you ready? Are you ready to not let that be you? Are you ready for Jesus to come at 1 o'clock or whenever? And for you to live with confidence and say, I welcome you. Oh, Jesus, I welcome you. I forsake all of my plans. I forgo all of the design of the architecture of the way I wanted this to go, because instead I somehow am going to find a kernel of trust and I'm going to put it in you. And I'm going to do it tomorrow and the next day and the next. Are you ready? It's such a good life to follow Jesus. It really will reflect. It will be like the city on the hill. It will be the light that cannot be put out. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we want to be reflective of the light of the world that you are. We want to be ready. As those of us who know, we want to be held to the high standard, because for us, it will go well for us the more and more that we lean into the design that you have given us for this world, for ourselves, for our relationships, for our loves. God, we thank you. We have been given much. We look at the cross up above and we predict and foresee what will come in the Easter story, and we know this is much. God, give us the strength, the courage, and the pure joy when you demand much from us, when you expect much from us. Help us to be the light on the stand and the city on the hill. All this we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.